गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 3 टाइटल्ड Answers by citing the Lord's version. Text number 3 for discussion. Yarhi vav mahimne sve parasmin kalamayayo रमेतगत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् यर्हि वा महिम्नि स्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययो रमेत गत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् यर्हि वा महिम्नि स्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययोः रमेत गत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् यर्हि वा महिम्नि स्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययोः रमेत गत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् यर्हि वा महिम्नि स्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययोः रमेत गत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् माताजीस् यर्हि वा महिम्नि स्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययोः रमेत गत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् यर्हि वा महिम्नि स्वे परस्मिन् कालमाययोः रमेत गत सम्मोह त्यक्तो दास्ते तदो भयम् विल रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी यर्हि एट एनी टाइम वाव सर्टनली महिम्नी इन द ग्लोरी स्वे ऑफ हिमसेल्फ परस्मिन इन द सुप्रीम काल टाइम माययोः ऑफ द मटीरियल एनर्जी रमेत एंजॉयज गत सम्मोह बीइंग फ्रीड फ्रॉम द मिसकंसेप्शन बीइंग फ्रीड फ्रॉम द मिसकंसेप्शन त्यक्त्वा Giving up, udaste in fullness, tada then, ubhayam both, which is the misconceptions of I and mine. Translation, as soon as the living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, which is I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Purport. The two misconceptions of life, namely I and mine, are verily manifested in two classes of men. In the lower state, the conception of mine is very prominent, and in the higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. In the animal state of life, the misconception of mine is perceivable even in the category of cats and dogs, who fight with one another with the same misconception of mine. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is also prominent in the shape of, it is my body, it is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And in the higher stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mine is transformed into, I am, or it is all I am, etc. There are many classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mine in different colors. But the real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of, quote, I am the eternal servitor of the Lord, unquote. This is pure consciousness, and the whole Vedic literatures teaches this conception of life. The misconception of, quote, I am the Lord, unquote, or, quote, I am the Supreme, unquote, is more dangerous than the conception of mine. Although there are sometimes directions in the Vedic literatures to think oneself one with the Lord, that does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every respect. Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many respects. But ultimately, the living entity is subordinate to the Lord, and he is constitutionally meant for satisfying the senses of the Lord. The Lord therefore asks the conditioned souls to surrender unto him. Had the living entities not been subordinate to the Supreme Will, why would the living entity be asked to surrender? Had the living entity been equal in all respects, then why was he put under the influence of Maya? We have already discussed many times that the material energy is controlled by the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, shloka number 10, confirms this controlling power of the Lord over the material nature. Can a living entity who claims to be as good as the Supreme Being control the material nature? The foolish I would reply that he will do so in the future. Even accepting that in the future one will be as good a controller of material nature as the Supreme Being, then why is one now under the control of material nature? The Bhagavad Gita says that one can be freed from the control of the material nature by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. But if there is no surrender, then the living entity will never be able to control the material nature. So, one must also give up this misconception of I by practicing the way of devotional service, or firmly being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A poor man without any employment or occupation may undergo so many troubles in life, but if by chance the same man gets a good service under the government, he at once becomes happy. There is no profit in denying the supremacy of the Lord, who is the controller of all energies, but one should be constitutionally situated in one's own glory, namely to be situated in the pure consciousness of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. In his conditional life, the living entity is servant of the illusory Maya, and in his liberated state, he is the pure, unqualified servant of the Lord. To become untinged by the modes of material nature is the qualification for entering into the service of the Lord. As long as one is a servant of mental concoctions, one cannot be completely free from the disease of I and mine. So before speaking, we'll offer our prayers. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा ऊपर सो इन दिस श्लोका द एसेंस ऑफ दिस वर्स इज दैट व्हेन वी स्टार्ट प्रैक्टिसिंग प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस देन वी कैन कम आउट ऑफ द कंसेप्शंस ऑफ आई एंड माइन एंड विदाउट दैट इट्स ऑलमोस्ट इम्पॉसिबल। सो थ्रू आउट द भागवतम मेनी टाइम्स देर आर डिफरेंट श्लोकास विच एक्सप्लेन हाउ attachment to the body and attachment to that which is related to the body is deeply rooted in our heart. In Lord Rishabhdev's teachings, he first mentions this concept of I and mine. He says, Pumsaha striya mithuni bhava metat tayoho mitho hridaya granthim ahu. So he's saying, first there is attraction between male and female, and in the Gita, third chapter, Krishna is saying the attraction between the male and the female will remain till the time the body is there. Prak sharir vimokshanat. So as soon as the body reaches a certain age and till the body is there, it is this attraction is there. And tayo mitho, the attraction between them, is called hridaya granthi. So a book in Sanskrit is called grantha because paper was usually tied with a knot. There was a rope, a small thread, and then there is a knot. So that is called granthi. So that which is tied with a granthi is called grantha. So there it is mentioned, the male and the female, when they are attracted to each other, then there is a knot that binds them together. So tayo mitho hridaya granthim ahu. And then what happens because of that knot? Ata griha kshetra suta apta vittair. So then you need a home, then you need a place to earn money. Then there are sons, then there are relatives, two sets of relatives after marriage. And then in this way you need money. And then the circle keeps on expanding. And then it is mentioned, janasya mohoyam aham mama iti. So in this way, every single person in this world gets slowly pulled into these two misconceptions. I am somebody related to this body, and everything that is related to the body belongs to me. A rich person, he had a factory, and towards his old age, he wanted to sell off that factory, wanted to earn good money out of it. So one day he contacted a prospective buyer, and there were a lot of discussions. A price was quoted, and then he said, okay, I like this price, so this factory is sold to you. And he went home. That night, that factory caught fire. So somebody came running in the middle of the night. Your factory is on fire. But when he heard that news, he did not get alarmed. He was smiling. Yesterday evening I sold off that factory. And then his secretary called and he said, "Sir, do you know that our factory is on fire?" But he said, "You were there, right? Yesterday we sold off that factory." The secretary mentioned, "But we did not sign all the papers." So he started crying. He said, "Oh, that factory is mine." So then he told him, "Find out from the lawyer if all those papers are equally important or some papers are more and some papers are less." In 2 minutes, he called. He said, "Actually, the papers that you signed are the most important papers, and some papers that are there legally, but they are not so important." Again, he started smiling. After 5 minutes, the insurance company, the secretary had called the insurance company. The insurance company said, "See, for selling, those papers are important. But from insurance perspective, some other papers are important that you have not signed." So he kept switching between crying, smiling, crying, smiling. So why is he sometimes smiling and why is he crying? The factory is still burning. What is happening is, till the time he feels that the factory still belongs to me and it is burning, he's crying. And I just put it in a very simple way, he's crying. If you would have been there, then you would have understood it. So, crying tears and shouting and, you know, the factory is getting burnt. And then as soon as the lawyer or the secretary is telling him, "Are you bech diya humne, you don't have to worry," then immediately he's smiling. So in this way, this is just a small example to help us understand how just by that perception that something belongs to me and I am in charge of that thing, sometimes there is constant changes of happiness and distress. So how does this aham start? When we are born, that small little baby, what name does that baby have? That baby, that body has no name. So what do the nurses and what do the ward boys in the maternity ward call that baby? Say, "Are wo bed number 12 ka bachcha hai na, usko dekh lo." They don't even call it the baby. They won't call it he or she. They will say, "Wo bachcha hai, wo dekh lo usko," right? And the identity is bed number 12, bed number 6, bed number 7, right? "Are wo ICU ka bed number 2 mein jaake dekho, kuch to ho raha hai udhar." That's how they talk. So the identity of the child when he's born is, actually he does not have an identity, but the nurses, to talk amongst each other, they give a certain name or a number. Then after that, the baby is taken home. And then after a certain number of days, depending on the culture, then there is a name allotted to the baby. So then that's the first day when he gets an identity. The identity which is going to stay with him while his journey in the material world, at least in this life. Then at one point of time, he'll get a surname. Then when he grows up, they will tell you, "You are from this caste." Okay, so always remember that. "You are from this part of the country. So then you should have this kind of identity." In this way, one upon another, the identities keep piling up. And imagine somebody on whom we are piling up something. What will usually happen is that person will kind of get suppressed under that, right? So similarly, any typical normal person in this world, from that Namakaran Samskar that happens, till the day he leaves this body, there is just piling of identities. You know, somebody will come, "Are tum to ye ho, you are that." Then they'll pile their identity upon you, their conception upon you. Can you imagine how many identities a person accumulates and gathers throughout his journey in the world? So in Bengal, we have our Mayapur temple. And one time in one printing press, the BBT of Bengal had given a printing order. And one of our brahmacharis, he went to that printing press to check what is the printing quality and all. And at that time, on the neighborhood printing press within the same, they were printing a question paper of some exam in some school. And so, you know, some time was there. So this brahmachari picked up that printout. And there, one of the questions was, "Who am I?" "Ke ami." Right? So because he's a Bengali and he's a devotee, so he remembered, you know, Sanatan Goswami had also asked this question, "Ke ami?" Or simple, "Who am I?" And just like he had come to check the books being printed, BBT, the school teacher had also come to check the quality of the printouts of the question paper. So just for checking, he asked that teacher, "What is the answer for this?" So he said, "Oh, there are many answers." So he asked, "What are the answers? You tell me." So the teacher said, "He can write, 'I am a boy, girl, I am a Bengali, I am an Indian, I am rich,' whatever." You know, there are multiple answers possible for this. So he said, "I am not saying my answer is correct. Only my answer is correct. Is it okay if this child who's going to write this answer paper also writes the answer that is there in the scriptures. Mamaivamsho jivaloke. So, okay, chalo, I'm a Bengali, I'm an Indian, I'm a rich, poor, whatever, tall, short, whatever. Accepted. Practical hona chahiye na. So he said, is it okay if he also quotes the answer from the Gita? I am a spirit soul. He said, no, zero marks. So what to speak of giving the right answer? Actually, that is the only right answer. Even before we got all the identities, who are I? Who am I? You know, it depends on which side of the border was I born? Which family was I born? The material world is so addicted to that aham and mama, it won't allow the answer given by Krishna in the Gita and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the CC to Sanatan Goswami as an alternative answer. One amongst the 35 answers. Nahi, nahi, you are the body. So that is that strong, you know, impression that is put. And third canto, 31st chapter is prayers by the embryo in the womb. So one of the prayers, the embryo in the womb, is praying to the Lord because he understands his position there. He says, oh my dear Lord, all the other bodies that are there in this world, they are limited in their sense perception. They are driven by their instinct. Have you ever seen a cow that it has grass, it eats grass. And if there is something that is not the standard food of a cow, maybe it is some garbage or maybe, you know, something like, we don't know, but meat, let's say. Some rodent, some rat is dead. Never ever. And a tiger and a lion, which are carnivorous animals, in the jungle, they are feeding. And it is said, a lion can run maximum 3 times for catching its prey. So it has to put so much energy because it is a heavy body. The deer has a light body. The deer can run. But the tiger with its whole huge strong body for running, it takes a lot of energy. So 3 times if it runs and it does not get a prey, it's basically death. That is the amount of strain that the lion or the tiger has to undergo to catch its prey. So I'm thinking, if it does not catch the first time, it does not catch the second time, and God forbid, because of the weakness, it's not able to put energy in the third time, it does not catch a prey, it's basically death. Because no other tiger, no other lion will help. Are aja, right? That's how the ego is. Have you ever seen a tiger or a lion who is about to die because of not getting a prey, eating a little bit of grass to survive? Survival is important, right? So, chalo, thoda grass kha lete hain, thoda energy aega, then again I'll run. Never ever the carnivorous animals go for the herbivore, you know, the herbs, the grass, and never ever the vegetarian animals go for. So the living entity in the womb is praying, all other bodies are driven by instinct. I'm so fortunate that I got this body in which instinct does not rule. In fact, all other bodies, how that living entity will act in that body is determined by agreeable and disagreeable perceptions. So something that is agreeable to that living entity, he will do. The living entity is saying, I am so fortunate, after 80 lakh species like that, now I have got this human form of life in which I am not driven by instinct. I know what is good for me. I know what is not good for me. I am so thankful to you. So this is that special human body that we have. So taking it forward with respect to all these, you know, the thought that was expressed by this living entity, what the parrot with its sharp beak cannot do, what the stork with its long beak cannot do, what the pigeon with its blunt beak cannot do, what the giraffe with its long neck cannot do, what the camel with its long legs cannot do, what an octopus with its long hands cannot do, what a chimpanzee with a black body cannot do, what a cow with a white body cannot do, and what a zebra with black and white stripes cannot do. All these are specialties. What a peacock with this beautiful plumage of feathers cannot do. That is possible for the human form of life. So with all their specialities, all their strength and everything else, what the bat with the excellent night vision cannot do, and what the hawk with excellent day vision cannot do, that the human form of life can do. What is that? It is mentioned it can get the highest perfection of life. So that's why the 11th canto mentions labdhva sudurlabhidam bahusambhavante. Labdhva sudurlabham, durlab is already rare, sudurlab is more rare. Sudurlabham idam bahusambhavante manushamarthadam anityam apiha dhira. This human form of life, manusham, is arthadam. It is capable of giving the highest benefit. But one small limitation of this body is, it is anityam. It's very fragile. You know, if we fall from 5 or 6 feet on the stairs, sometimes you can break your hip bone and you can get incapacitated. Just see how many, you know, sometimes I see dog is run over by a car and a dog. There's no doctor. There is no orthopedic. There is no medicine. There is no betadine. There is no spirit. There is no bandage. The dogs and the cats, unless it's a fatal, super fatal injury, they survive. So many animals are hit so many times, birds are, but if you see, their bodies are very strong as compared to the human body. The human body is very free. So, arthadam anityam apiha dhira. So what does a dhira do? He says, turnam yatetna patet anumrutyu yavan. Actually, turnam means immediately. Yatet, you should try. Na patet, if it's not undergoing any difficulty, if you have a healthy body, anumrutyu yavan. Actually, the body is called anumrutyu. Anytime death can come. Anytime, it's so fragile. Kuch bhi hoga, immediately things can go wrong. And says, nishreyasaya vishayah khalu sarvatah syat. Nishreyasaya means, whenever we are healthy, until everything is going good, actually we should try for the highest benefit. Why? Because vishaya sarvatah khalu syat. Vishaya vastu, sense gratification is available in all species of life. Sarvatah khalu syat. Reality. So the focus is on the human form of life. And the second thing that is mentioned, the misconception, is mama. So what is mama? Anything that is connected to this body is mine. And it starts with the body. So while describing Parikshit Maharaj, what is the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj? It is mentioned, Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Rajya Cha Vikalam Nityam Virudham Mamatau Jahau. So how, what did he give up? 9 things are mentioned there. Atma is the body, Jaya is the wife, Suta is the children, Agara is the palace in which it is, Pashu is the animals, or in today's context it will be the vehicles that we drive, Dravina is the wealth and the property that we have, Bandushu are the relatives, and Rajya. The authority of ruling, the position, the upadhi that he has of ruling over all this. And Virudham, it's very rare, but this Mamatam, this Mama, Parikshit Maharaj gave very easily up. So, usually it starts with the body, and the body is called Deha in the normal parlance. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati helps us understand that Deha means Iha Dadati Iti Deha. So, when the living entity came to the material world, what was it given? The Iha. Iha is the material world. So, the Iha is Deha, that is the material, the body. It also includes the subtle body, the mind also. So usually when we talk about mama, the focus is on the material things that are connected to the body, the property, the rings, the gold, and this and that. Actually, it is also to do with the mind. And what comes out of the mind? Our conceptions, our thinking pattern, our proposals, our ideas, our deep convictions. This is the right way. So just like some people in this world are attached to the property that is in connection to the body, it is also possible that some of us are very much thickly attached to the deep convictions that we have. There is no problem in having deep convictions. If that conviction is in Guru Shishya Parampara, then it has the authority of all the previous sadhus. If it is not sanctioned by the Guru Shishya Parampara, then it could be in the capacity, it could be in the realm of mama. So, whether it is gross mama, whether it is subtle mama, or whether it is the gross aham, or whether it is a subtle aham, all these are various obstructions on the way back home, back to Godhead. There is a Subhashit which says, Ashanam me vasanam me, dara me bandhu vargaha me. So me, mama, in Sanskrit there is a synonym called me. When I say mama griham, you can also say me griham. So ashanam me vasanam me, this food is mine, the clothes are mine. Dara me, this wife is mine. Bandhu vargaha me, this family is mine. Iti me me, so this person is always, whenever he sees anything, me, 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 me. Right? I'm just trying to do something. I'm not trying to imitate. but I'm trying to do something just to make it relevant for you. Which animal says this? Goat, yeah. So this Subhashit iti me kurvanam. Aise prakar se this vyakti is called me. Iti me kurvanam. Kala vrikaha hanti purusha ajam. In this way the wolf of time comes and he devours this goat. Purusha ajam. So when we always talk about me, you become a goat. And probably this is the reason why Daksha Prajapati, of all the animals, why was he given a goat head? He was given a goat head because he had that mood. When Lord Shiva, the greatest of all devotees, is not standing up, Daksha Prajapati is thinking, I am an opulent householder. I have a position. And I am also a Vaishnav. I have been given seva. And why this renunciant who does not have even the sense to wear proper clothes? And then he calls a lot of other things which we don't want to. But basically there is a sense of superiority. And what is the superiority of Daksha over Shiva? The sense of superiority that Daksha has over Shiva is his material me. He is not talking in terms of seva that he is doing. He is saying, I am his father-in-law. And on the bodily level, because my daughter Dakshayani has been given to Daksha, it is a son-in-law's duty to rise up to offer respects to the father-in-law. It's very clearly bodily conception. And in the purports, you know, it is also mentioned by Prabhupada that he also had a sense of superiority, that he is a very karmanishtha person. He does all his duties very nicely. Just look at the opulence with which I have organized this yajna. And the interesting thing is, when he got offended, I'm saying when Shiva offended me, when he developed a sense of offense from Shiva, he's thinking that he's offended by Shiva, he blasted Shiva. He's calling him Markatalochan. He's calling him, you're Shiva, you're pure, but actually you're a Shiva. And then so many things he says. And then he's blasting. And the most interesting thing is, after blasting, he leaves that arena. Actually, that whole yajna was organized by Daksha. And it was for the propitiation of the Supreme Lord. So Bhagavan ki seva mein yajna shuru kiya tha, but he got sidetracked by his dehatma buddhi. And the blast was such a high blast that he just could not control himself and he forgot his service also. That yajna, he did not complete, he walked away. What about Lord Shiva? If Lord Shiva was also in a reciprocative dehatma buddhi, then he would have also had a chance to blast. But very interestingly, Lord Shiva is not in dehatma buddhi. He is not seeing himself as a son-in-law of anybody. He is just seeing himself as a mamahi vamsho. I am a servant of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Shiva did not utter a single word. And Daksha Prajapati gave a long blast. And the blast affected whom? So this fire of anger, the danger of anger is such that it consumes the person who has it first. So Daksha got consumed by the anger. Although he is throwing that anger at somebody, that person was untouched. And what is the result? The first result of that anger is, he, probably for the first time, forgot his service of pleasing Lord Vishnu. So all the pride that he has, I am also a Vaishnav, got smashed on the day when he kind of personified the Dehatma Buddhi and is blasting at a pure devotee. Another example that comes to my mind is Indra. So often he forgets that he is not somebody who's born in that position. He has been awarded that position for 71 Mahayugas or Chaturyugas. And in Govardhan, lifting of Govardhan, the chastisement of Indra, he really fell sorry and he said, please forgive me. And Lord Krishna, he said, it's all right. Don't forget that I gave you that position and don't become proud again. And then Lord Krishna continued Leela, Vrindavan Leela, then Mathura Leela, then Dwarka Leela. In Dwarka, what happened? One day Narad Muni gave a Parijat flower to Rukmini Devi. And that one flower spread its fragrance throughout Dwarka. And Satyabhama Devi in another palace is thinking, oh, Rukmini Devi has such a nice fragrant flower. I also want a flower like that. He goes to Krishna. Krishna says, okay, that tree is in the heavenly planets, not this Parijat. So that tree is in the heavenly planets. I want that. Okay, let's go there. And then Krishna, he took one tree And they are going back to the earthly planets, to Dwarka. Not early, earthly planet, but then it's Vaikuntha, Dwarka. So, Indra sees that. And for one small tree, Indra again attacks Krishna. So, in my own perspective, I'm thinking that for Krishna on the earth, because the speed of time is different on different planets, so on earth it is some number of years, from the age of 7, Govardhan Leela, to let's say minimum 100 at least, you know, when this Leela in Dwarka is happening. So, good 90 to 100 years have happened for Krishna. So, usually people forget what happened. But does this apply to Indra in the heavenly planets? Because in the heavenly planets, the time is slow. So, for Indra, when he got chastised by Krishna, that why did you interfere with this Govardhan Leela? And the time when he is again chastised by Krishna, that why are you stopping me from taking my Parijat tree that is there in your Sarva Yonishu Kaunte Am Bija Pradapita, right? So he is the Bija Pradapita, Sarva Yonishu. So that Parijat tree Bija is also coming from Krishna only. So his tree. So if for Krishna on the earthly planets it is roughly 100 years, how much time in the heavenly planets for Indra between these two incidents? Some minutes. So how much is this Dehatma Buddhi? That in a matter of few minutes, he again attacks the same master. And every time Indra becomes disturbed, it's basically the same Dehatma Buddhi. What about Suruchi? So we know some details about Suruchi. But one of the things which I wanted to highlight was, Suruchi, when she speaks those poisonous words to Dhruva, how can you sit there and this and that? One thing she mentions is, if you really want to sit on the lap of your father, you pray to Lord Narayan and by his blessings you can be born in my womb and then you can sit on your father's lap. So it sounds so holy. Bhagwan ko bhule nahi. If you pray to Lord Narayan, so blessings are from whom? Narayan. She is very clear about that. But you know why she says like that? She's saying, my womb is so special, my womb is so holy that if you want to take birth in my womb, nobody else's blessings will work. Only the topmost Supreme Lord, by his blessings, you can be born in my womb. So is it glorification of Lord Vishnu as a Supreme Lord? Or is it glorification of Aham and Mama? Right? So sometimes it appears that the person is speaking about Lord Vishnu, is glorifying Lord Vishnu. But actually if you deeply analyze, it is that. And one of another reasons why she mentions Lord Narayan is she wants to give an impression to her husband. Don't think that I'm envious. Actually, I'm a very holy person. Just see, I know who is Lord Vishnu. Actually, Daksha Prajapati also, when he starts speaking, the first words that he speaks when he's beginning to chastise Lord Shiva is, oh, all the assembled people here, do not think that I'm speaking out of envy. And after speaking this, he starts speaking out of envy. So, you know, we have so many examples where that aham and mama becomes very strong. I'll also speak some examples where that aham and mama is not so strong. Bali Maharaj is one personality who appears in a demoniac family and which is typically associated with strong aham and mama. But if you see the three steps that Lord Vamandev obtained from him, I just want three steps. He said, yes. Was Bali Maharaj aware that what three steps is going to take? No. In the first two steps, he took all the mama of Bali Maharaj. All the property he had. And then when he's saying, what next? Bali Maharaj is so clear. Mama ke baad mein aham. So now that all my mama is gone, please put your lotus foot on my head and let me offer myself also. Manasa deho geho, jo ki chumur, arpilu tuva pade, pandakisho. And I also, me also. We also see how in the Samudra Manthan Leela, the devatas and the asuras, they start churning. And what is the first position of the devatas? The devatas are first given the position near the mouth of Vasuki. And the demons are told, asuras are told, you go near the tail. And before they start, one of the leaders of the asuras, he says, hey, this is partiality. Just see, we are told to go near the tail and the devatas are told to go near the mouth. I think we should protest. So they say, we want a swap. And the devatas, if they were strongly, you know, if their aham and mama is overpowering their sense of belonging to the Supreme Lord, they would have also said, no, jo ho gaya, wo ho gaya. If we are on the mouth side and you are on the tail side, that's done, eternal, no more changing. But what did the devatas do? Devatas looked at Krishna. They have aham and mama, but that aham and mama is not so strong as much as their obedience to the Lord. So karma, mishra, but bhakta. The devatas are karma, mishra, bhakta. The karma, mishra is small, bhakta is bigger. So they look at Lord Krishna. Then Lord Vishnu says, don't fight. I'm there. You swap. So the devatas go to the tail side and asuras go to the head side. And then the churning starts. And when the churning starts, then because he's a snake, lot of fire, lot of poison, and lot of dark black smoke comes from the mouth of Vasuki. And who gets burnt by all that? The asuras. That time the devatas are smiling. So, but Krishna, Vishnu, he did not tell them this. Lord Vishnu is very interesting. Lord Vishnu never tells before what are the benefits that will come later. At that time, that is a test. So if they surrendered, they had to put faith. And so the devatas moved, but they got benefited. Then after churning, they got exhausted. So the Lord Vishnu is saying, oh, these people always listen to me. They do their mistakes, but they listen to me. So then he produced small fine droplets of rain. And the devatas, they received rain, but not in a strong current. It was refreshing. And they got energetic again to again pull and take part in the churning. At one point of time, again they get exhausted. It's a heavy mountain. It's a gold mountain. It's more heavier than the stone mountain. The density of gold is more than stone. So it's a very heavy mountain, not like this mountain. So again, the Supreme Lord manifests himself as the mode of goodness. And he surcharges the devatas. And he manifests himself as Rajogun. And he surcharges the asuras. And he manifests himself as the Tamogun. And he surcharges Vasuki. Because Vasuki is being, you know, his body is rubbing against the mountains. So he is getting a lot of cuts. So nobody can survive there with all those cuts. So he needs some Tamogun. He needs to become a little bit, you know, kind of anesthetized so that he does not feel the pain. So Tamogun for Vasuki, Rajogun for the asuras, and Sattvagun for the devatas. And so many times Vishnu again and again helps the devatas and the asuras. And after getting muft ki seva, right? The asuras also participated in all that seva. And finally the net result, the amrit comes. And now when the amrit comes, who lays the first claim on the amrit? The asuras. But again, the devatas, they don't fight. They don't start crying. They again look at Vishnu. So throughout that leela, every time the devatas are in the problem, they look at Vishnu. So Vishnu says, wait, don't worry. I'm there. Lord Vishnu appears as Mohini. And in the presence of the asuras, he talks sweetly. And he takes the pot of nectar from them. And he makes all the devatas sit in a line. And the asuras are sitting, seeing them sitting in a line. And she is pouring the nectar to all the devatas, the amrit, and keeps smiling at the asuras. And the asuras are thinking, milega, abhi milega, I'll get it. And not a single drop for the asuras. And at the end they realize, we have been cheated. So if you look at this whole leela, if the devatas were in Dehatma Buddhi, they would have protested against the so-called injustice against them. Every time they were kind of overpowered, they did not protest. They said, ask Vishnu. Vishnu says, I will work it out. Don't worry. Have patience. Utsahat nishchayat, and the third thing is also very important. Dhairyat. So, this whole Samudra Manthan pastime is summarized by Shukdev Goswami very nicely. He says, evam sura suragana. He says, evam sura suragana samadesha kala. So, he is going to speak certain factors which were sama for the asuras and the devatas. Evam sura suragana samadesha kala hetvartha mat karma matayo api phale vikalpa. So, desha, the place was the same for both. Kala was the same for both. The goal was amrit, same for the both. The churning rod, Mandara mountain, was the same for the both. The herbs that they were put, artha, that was also the same. And then matayo is the ambition. The ambition was also the same. Both of them thought that they will win. But he says, phale vikalpa. But what happened? The final result that happened is different. Why? Tatramritam suragana falamanja sapur. Tatramritam Suragana. Suragana got Anjasa means in a very simple way. They got Amrit in a very easy way. They did not have to work hard more than necessary for it. Why? Yadapada Pankaja Raja Shrayana na Daitya. Only for one reason. Yadapada Pankaja Raja. Bhagavan ke charano ke kamalo mein jo dhool hai, Shrayana na Daitya. The only fault of the devatas is they never ever surrender to Vishnu, and because they don't surrender to Vishnu, they cannot come out of Dehatma Buddhi, and because they cannot come out of Dehatma Buddhi, they are trying to retaliate on their own. And that is what is mentioned in today's scriptures, that unless we actually are situated in Sve Mahimni Sitasya Cha Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Cha Nityashah. Kapil Rishi is saying Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta, whatever sense gratification we have to, remembering that Drishta Dosha Cha Nityashah, seeing the fault in sense gratification, you give it up. And then he says Sve Mahimni Sitasya Cha, then only we can be situated in the original glory of the spirit soul. Sarubham Bhattacharya was a big Nyaya person, and he's so expert that because he wanted his own name and fame to be established, from Bengal he traveled all the way to Mithila. And in Mithila, he just heard from the teachers there. And when he came back to Bengal, he started his own school of Nyaya called Navya Nyaya. Navya in a simple language means Naya. So apart from all the Nyaya philosophy that was there, he started his own flavor of Nyaya. That is the capacity and that is the intention of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya also. And he is a Grihastha. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a young sannyasi meets Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he has seen that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Mahabhava stage which he had read in the scriptures. But he had never even imagined that there is some person living who is in that stage. Why? Because when Mahaprabhu ran towards Lord Jagannath and he became unconscious, he was not even breathing. And they had to put little cotton fibers near his nose, nostril, and it swayed a little bit, and that made Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, oh, I had heard about this Ashta Satvik Vikar and I thought no human being can ever have it and this person has it. In a respectful way, he told the temple guards, please take this young boy, sannyasi, to my home. So it's not ignorance. It's not that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya does not have a faintest idea of who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. He has seen that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who displayed the Ashta Satvik Mahavikar that nobody can have. After some days, that Dehatma Buddhi, that Navya Nyaya is so strong, this Grihastha is telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is your name? He says, my name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Oh, who's your spiritual master? He says, my spiritual master is Sri Keshav Bharati. So, okay. Actually, you know what? I am a really great scholar and I am really qualified. If you want, no force. If you want, I can elevate your sannyas to Saraswati Sampradaya. You are a Grihastha. What makes you think that, you know, you are so... Just think how strong is that attachment to my scholarship, to my brain substance. He is proposing to elevate the sannyas status of a sannyasi, and he is not a sannyasi. He has seen with his own eyes how this person fainted out of love for Lord Jagannath. What audacity this person has. And then he says, I want to speak some teachings to you. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, please teach me. And while teaching, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of his varna status, ashram status, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, in a very interesting way, he puts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a higher seat. Because you are a sannyasi. And I am a Grihastha by the externals. He sits down on a lower level. But who is instructing whom? Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is instructing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is called ritualism to the core. That ritual, you know, Grihastha is lower than the sannyasi. But inside stuff is special. Inside, I have more than you, so I'll instruct you. 7 days and seven nights, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunichana, he speaks later, but he's practicing it himself. Arrogant, logical, proud Grihastha is instructing the person who faints at seeing the deities. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hearing, and then he says, did you understand anything? Because I did not see any expressions on your face. The face didn't change. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the same stoic face, he says, actually, the Vedas are like the sun. And your explanations are like the cloud. And your explanations have clouded the bright light of the Vedas. Sarom Bhattacharya is heard. I never heard this example in the Vedas. Ye logic kabhi suna nahi maine. And then he asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how in all the Vedas there are only three things: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And then to prove the efficacy of bhakti, he speaks the shloka of Atma Ramascha Munayo Niragrantha Api Urukrame. Niragrantha, again that Grantha word is coming. Kurvanti Ayahaitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuto Guno Hari. So Sarvam Bhattacharya that day undergoes transformation. And then seeing the personal characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one day something happens. And this looks like a very ordinary incident, but it's a very special incident. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets up early, goes to the Jagannath Mandir, he is given some Mahaprasad, and this Mahaprasad he carries to Sarvam Bhattacharya. So in his love for Sarvam Bhattacharya, he is carrying that Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad comes to Sarvam Bhattacharya, but Sarvam Bhattacharya has not woken up that day too early. He has not even washed his mouth. And seeing that Mahaprasad, because he is a scholar, he knows what is the value of Mahaprasad. That Jagannath Mahaprasad, without washing his mouth even, he puts it into his mouth. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what do you do? We should wash our mouth. We don't speak anything. We don't eat anything. What to speak of Jagannath Mahaprasad? And to reply that now, because his Dehatma Buddhi has changed to Vishnu, Atma Buddhi. So this time very quickly, Sarvam Bhattacharya quotes one shloka from the scriptures, which essentially means, Prapti Matrena Bhoktavyam. Mahaprasad, as soon as you get in your hand, you should honor it. You may take a little, you may take a small bit, but Prapti Matrena Bhoktavyam. You should honor that Mahaprasad, it is Krishna's mercy. So whether it is stale or whether it is spoilt, Paryushitam Va, but you should honor it. Just take a little bit and honor it. And when he takes it, what is the reaction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot control himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tears in his eyes. Aji ami anayase jininu tribhuvan. Aji ami karimu vaikuntha arohan. He says, today I have conquered the three worlds. Today I have ascended to the Vaikuntha planets. Aji mora purna haila sarva abhilash. Sarobho mera haila mahaprasade vishwas. Aji mora purna haila sarva abhilash. All my desires are fulfilled today. Why? Sarobhom era haila mahaprasade vishwas. This Sarobhom was such a logical person and he always thought he is more intelligent than even a sannyasi. He wanted to elevate my sannyas. And today there is such a transformation. This simple little food, but it is honored by Sri Jagannath. It has been cooked by Sri Lakshmi Devi. And it has been distributed by the very close pandas of Lord Jagannath, the devotees of it. It is empowered with bhakti shakti. That Mahaprasad, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he put it in his mouth. And then he says, Aji Krishna Prapti Yogya Haila Tomara Man Veda Dharma Langhi Kori Prasada Bhakshan. This is that main point. Veda Dharma Langhi Kori Prasada Bhakshan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the source of the Vedas. He knows what are the rules for taking prasad. He says, Veda Dharma Langhi. Today, the most logical and the most shastric person has crossed over the rules of the Vedas and Kori Prasada Bhakshan. So that day, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's Dehatma Buddhi was conquered. And this was the day from which Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is a totally transformed person. Some days later, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is bringing the Bhagavatam and he wants to speak, narrate the Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he speaks that famous shloka, 10.14.8. So, Mukti Padesa Daya Bhak. Somebody who offers his words, his body, and his namaskars to Krishna. Atma Kritam Vipakam. He says, no, these are my sins, only I must have done something in my life. So, such a person becomes a rightful heir to liberation. Mukti Padesa Daya Bhak. And while chanting the shloka, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, without asking, he says, Bhakti Padesa Daya Bhak. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows that. Wait, what was that word? I think the original Bhagavatam shloka, which Lord Brahma speaks, is Mukti Padesa Daya Bhak. Why did you change it on your own without asking? Veda dharma langhi abhi har jagah pe chal raha hai. Why did you change it to bhakti pade sadaya bhag? So, Sarvam Bhattacharya, whatever he has heard from the Vedas, he says, actually the word mukti in general, in the Vedas, it signifies sayujya mukti. Merging into the existence of the Lord. Going beyond birth, old age, disease and death. So he says, a Vaishnava does not like this sayujya mukti. Because the concept of seva becomes nullified there. The eternal relationship becomes nullified there. So he says, so personally, I am not really comfortable with this mukti word. Because it means merging into Krishna. I like the bhakti word. So that's why I chanted bhakti. Can you change the Bhagavatam? But Sarvam Bhattacharya changes it for a purpose, for glorifying Krishna. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his compassion, seeing that his conception has changed, just like for devatas, they always took shelter of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya gives two understandings. He says, actually all the different kinds of muktis are always a servant of Lord Krishna. So they are at the feet of Lord Krishna. So one of the names of Lord Krishna is Mukti Pada. So when it is at Mukti Padesa Daya Bhag, it is not that Sayuja Mukti. It is Krishna only. So you don't have to get disturbed by it. And he says, actually somebody who does bhakti, mukti is included, na? Somebody who does graduation, you don't have to ask whether he has done 10th standard and 12th standard. It's not possible only. So he says, somebody who is doing bhakti, mukti is included. So if bhakta, you say, he's mukta. He already has mukti. There's nothing wrong in it. So you are describing a bhakta, but mukti is included. So don't change the Bhagavatam shloka. You chant mukti padesa daya bhag only. So Sarvam Bhattacharya says, yes, thank you for correcting me. And from that day onwards, Veda Dharma Langi, he stopped it there, but his heart had completely changed. So in this way, there are so many examples where there are personalities like Daksha, Indra, who sometimes have more attachment to Dehatma Buddhi and they keep on doing mistakes. And there are examples like Bali Maharaj, and there are examples like Sarvam Bhattacharya. Last example, I just thought, just to go deeper into this, that Kunti Devi in her prayers is saying, oh my dear Lord, please cut off my ties of affection to my sons and to my maternal side, the husband side. Yes. So atho vishvesha vishvatman vishvamurte svakeshu me sneha pasham imam chindi dridam pandushu krishnishu. So we might feel, oh, we are supposed to get attached to the Lord and we are supposed to get attached to the devotees. Why is Kunti Devi asking to cut off those affections? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur helps us in this regard. He says, the relationship that Kunti has with the Pandavas has two components. One component is because they took birth from her body, so that Dehatma Buddhi is there. And one component of her affection for Arjun, Bhim, Yudhishthir, Nakul and Sahadev is they are the devotees of Lord Krishna. Arjun is such a devotee of Lord Krishna. So out of these two components, Kunti Devi is telling Krishna, don't cut off my attachment to the Pandavas because they are devotees of Krishna. Cut off that component which is related to they are born from my body. The Vrishnis also, they are great devotees of the Lord. So don't cut off my component of my affection that I see them great devotees of the Lord. Cut off my that component of affection that I feel I am related to their body because I am born in the Vrishni clan. So in this way, these are different examples by which we can understand how aham and mama is not good. In the purport, Prabhupada mentioned in the beginning, out of aham and mama, mama is lower and aham is higher. And we have heard many times how the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, what is the reality? In the spiritual world, mama is higher than aham. If you insult Krishna, Krishna says no problem. But if you insult devotees of Krishna, Krishna becomes more angry. So for us, aham is a higher problem than mama. Why? Because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, aham is a lower stage than mama. And devotees also, if you insult devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is insulted by so many people. The Brahman is saying, I curse you that you will never enjoy the material pleasures. And he says, yeah, thank you, very nice. So if somebody insults Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the aham, he says, no, that's okay. But when somebody tried to insult Nityanand Prabhu, mama, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only instance where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really became angry, and he actually became violent like Lord Narasimha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not supposed to become violent. Namo Maha Vadanyaya. But that Namo Maha Vadanyaya also become. So mama is higher than aham. And amongst the gopis, there are the left wing gopis headed by Srimati Radharani, and there are the right wing gopis. Out of these, what is the difference? The right wing gopis say, I am Krishna's. And what does the left wing gopis headed by Radharani say? Krishna is mine. So both are exalted emotions. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. So in this mama and aham, what is higher? Mama is higher than aham. The thought that Krishna is mine is greater attachment to Krishna than I am Krishna's. So in the material world, aham and mama both are disastrous. Aham is higher than mama, but in the spiritual world, the more we develop attachment for Krishna and his devotees, the mama is always higher than aham. So we can all pray to Radha Gopinath that let us develop attachment for you, but the right way to develop attachment for you is to develop attachment to those great souls who have been spreading your message on this planet. And let us also develop attachment for our gurus. Let us also develop attachment for Srila Prabhupada, Sri Rupa Goswami, and so on. And in this way, that aham and mama that we have today will get actually spiritualized, and we can actually get the real aham and mama for Lord Krishna. So thank you very much. I'll stop here. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.